You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Going to read from Matthew chapter 10 in just a minute. It's possible that you or others that have heard our messages have thought sometimes I'm being over dramatic or making up things or hyping up things, especially about the way our country is deteriorating. And I've mentioned martial law many times. And this morning, I want to just read you the captions on 10 or 12 articles. I'm not going to read the articles, but I just want you to know what's being said out there so that you know that we are, in fact, heading into some great trouble. So just give me a minute to share just these captions. If you're interested in reading them, you can come and read them. Here's one that says, every breath you take, every move you make, 14 ways, new ways that the government is watching you. Here's another one, First Amendment, that's our freedom of speech. First Amendment under attack, 18 examples of how they are coming for our free speech. Here's one, government censors document revealing plans to wage war on Americans. This is the American government revealing plans to wage war on American citizens. Here's one, Senate moves, that's our Senate in Washington, D.C., Senate moves to allow military to intern Americans, that means arrest them and put them in a camp or something. Senate moves to allow military to intern Americans without trial. Wave bye-bye to your Bill of Rights. Here's one. Senate approves requiring military custody in terror cases. And you might think, well, that's for terrorists. I'm not a terrorist. Well, think twice. Here's one. The war on terror is now expanding to American soil and to American citizens. Here's another one. U.S. military now identifies Bible believers as threat to national security. You got a Bible in your hand. U.S. military now identifies Bible believers as threat to national security. New bill authorizes rendition of American citizens. That means to be picked up and taken out of country to prisons, out of country, to be interrogated or whatever they want to do. New bill, this is in our Congress in Washington, D.C., new bill authorizes rendition of American citizens living within the United States to other countries for torture. This one says, presidential frontrunner, speaking of Ron Paul, who is a member of Congress and about the only man that really believes in the U.S. Constitution and our Bill of Rights, presidential frontrunner warns martial law being established in America. Here's another one. Upon release of martial law documents, the plan for America's destruction becomes apparent. And then there was another one that I found interesting. It was written by a guy that experienced the collapse down in, I believe it was Argentina. and he's written a book that says what to expect from the government after the collapse. And so there's a number of things going on even recently that indicate that we're heading into trouble. And so that's going to be a crisis for us in several respects on several levels. And we began talking last week about a crisis of faith, and we're going to finish that today. A crisis of faith, this is number two. We have lived well for many years here in this country, and that has made us soft physically and spiritually. We need to be tightened up, toughened up, studied up, and prayed up if we hope to represent the Lord steadfastly in the days that lay ahead of us. Many of us, not all of us, but many of us became Christians and attended meetings in the comfortable surroundings of some church with padded chairs, carpeted floor, heated and cooled meeting hall, complete with hymnals and pew Bibles. But for the true believer, the days are near when we will have to be discreet and discriminating, meaning careful regarding our beliefs and our faith and who we speak to it about, and how easy it is for us to discuss or not discuss our next meeting or our last meeting with other Christians. We'll have to be discreet and discriminating, even secretive and quiet, as we gather in fellowship and listen to someone sing a song, testify, and read the Word, and if there's a teacher around, to teach us the Word. Dangers will be a daily part of life, even within our homes and with those we gather with to worship God. I'm reminded of a story, and I believe it was during World War II over in Europe. I've shared this before, I think, but there was a very small group of believers that had gathered quietly. They were sitting in a circle, talking about the Lord and reading a verse or two from the page of Scripture that somebody had ripped out of a Bible so as not to be caught carrying an entire Bible. And they were sitting there, and there were several of them, probably six or eight or so. Suddenly there came some very pronounced bangs on the door, like that of maybe a gun butt. And they got up and they opened the door, and in came two or three enemy soldiers with rifles. And they gathered around these group of Christians and said, anybody that wants to leave, or you're not really a true Christian, you can leave now. And after a pause, a moment of silence, two or three got up and left the room and got out of there as fast as they could. The soldiers closed the door, put their weapons down, and said, brothers and sisters, we're Christians, but we have to be sure we're meeting with other Christians. And so, as I said, dangers will be a daily part of life, even within our homes and with those we gather with to worship God one day. Why? Many of our family members, saved and unsaved, and many in the church will not be prepared for the fears and the pressure that the last days will heap upon all of us, perhaps even daily. And so some will cave in to the pressures to deny what they have professed faith in, or to be pressured to tell on others out of fear. There will be men that will betray us for food or for favor or to save their own lives or the lives of their families. But for those that have been prepared with the help of God and His Word, he or she will be able to stand firm in the faith and stand erect in the face of trials and physical hardships by Antichrist agents. We cannot abandon our faith. We cannot deny the Lord Jesus Christ under any circumstances. And what you're going to leave here today having a sense of is what kind of circumstances am I talking about that could be, if you're not prepared, a crisis of faith for you. Let me read from Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 16. And please pay attention in light of this subject that we're talking about, a crisis of faith. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Verse 23. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. But particularly, dear ones, listen to what this says. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, that word deny means to disavow. It means to abnegate. It means to reject. It means to contradict what's been said about you. You're a Christian? Oh no, I'm not a Christian. That's to deny Jesus. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think that I am not come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And I remind you, Paul said something similar, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. No matter what, we cannot deny the Lord under any circumstances. Now, let's get to the heart of what I'm trying to convey to you about the dangers for you and me ahead. Consider all that we now enjoy. Freedom to travel near and far. Well-stocked gas stations and grocery stores and Walmarts and Targets and corner markets. We have available medical help. And also for a very short time yet, freedom of speech, religion, and worship. Now pretend that all these things have slipped away and we are almost overnight more like communist Russia, China, or North Korea, as far as being a Christian is concerned and as far as having the great things that we've had all our lives. At first, Christians and Jews are despised, but might be tolerated a little while longer if they cooperate in certain ways. For those that do not cooperate, there is constant harassment, not just by government agents, but by your own neighbors and co-workers, classmates. Constant harassment, threats of punishment, and even arrest for some. Each new day, the true believer begins with sincere prayer, asking that he and his family and other Christians be protected and hidden from view. I've been praying this already for 5 or 6, 7, 8 years already. Lord, when the time comes, would you make us invisible? Let them not know where we are, can't find us. They can drive right by us and not see us. God can do all of those things. Every new day, the true believer begins with sincere prayer, asking that he and his family and other Christians be protected and hidden from view. But from time to time, somebody gets picked up, questioned, and may be released, or may not ever be seen again. I've just read you the captions of articles that have authorized our military to arrest U.S. citizens and take them out of the country. You don't think you're coming back from that, do you? The anxiety in such an environment as I've just described, the anxiety is high, even among believers that are strong in the faith and seasoned by such circumstances. Now, the heart of the issue, or where they say, where the rubber meets the road. You have been fingered as someone the establishment wants to talk to. Or to put it in modern day terms, you have become a person of interest. Ever heard that term? That's what they use now when they have somebody they want to talk to. They're not making an accusation, but they really, really want to talk to you. You are a person of interest. You have been fingered as someone as a person of interest. You are rumored. That's all it'll take. It's all it'll take. You are rumored to be a Bible-believing, Jesus Christ-loving, God-worshipping, and Jewish-sympathizing Christian. A local government interrogation team has pushed their way right into your very own living room. That possible crisis of faith you've been warned about has come. How will you answer their questions, knowing that lying is not an option of your faith in God, and the truth is certain pain and suffering? Here's the kinds of things they will ask. Do you agree and publicly support the North American Union? And are you abiding by the conditions for citizenry detailed in the expanded United Nations Global Ethic and Charter of Religious Freedom? Basically, they're saying, do you agree with everything the government's doing and our clamp down on Christians and Jews and the fact that all religions are equal and there are more than one way to God? Do you agree with that? How do you answer that question and not implicate yourself? And by the way, the Fifth Amendment no longer applies. You can't say, I plead the Fifth. When people do that, that means, according to our Bill of Rights, I don't have to answer that question because it implicates me. And that's a legal way out. By this time, the Fifth Amendment will be gone. So you plead the Fifth, you probably get knocked to the ground. Here's another one. Are you a Christian and a devout follower of Jesus Christ? Pretty direct. Do you now have any state-condemned holy Bibles or other prohibited Christian books, DVDs, or CDs anywhere on this property? Are you willing to renounce your religious beliefs and surrender all state-condemned religious materials especially Bibles. Are you harboring any person or persons here on your property that have been declared by the state to be a troublemaker or threat or criminal or terrorist? You just heard that the U.S. military has just recently included Bible-believing Christians as terrorist threats. And, of course, here's this one. Who do you know in this country that has expressed loyalty to any group or organization, religious or militant, which has been identified by the Continental Union to be a threat to our security? Any information you give us will be amply rewarded. How have you done in answering these questions in a way that was the truth and approved before God? Not so well, we can presume. And so off you go in the big black Hummer to their evaluation center to determine just how devoted to God you are, if you can be forced to talk and name names, or if you are valuable enough, you have a skill or a talent or some great usefulness, or if you are valuable enough to be vigorously retrained and released. And if this stressful environment was not bad enough, within months, things get dramatically worse. Before long, demonized, antichrist, loyalty agents. Because you do realize at some point, the pit will be opened and millions upon millions upon millions of demons will be set free on top of what's already operating in the earth to bring sickness and disease and torment and hurt and pain. People will be demon-possessed, especially those that have sworn allegiance to the Antichrist. And those demons are going to love to have free rein to do anything they want, especially to you Christians. Before long, demonized Antichrist loyalty agents are on a mission to destroy the faithful, and they are not restrained from anything imaginable. Are you strong enough by then in your faith in God and your trust in His Word? So completely, are you strong enough and trusting in His Word so completely that, brother, you do not fear the pain and suffering that Antichrist forces threaten you with for being a Christian or caught sharing the gospel or with an outlawed Holy Bible? You do not fear the pain or suffering. Are you strong enough? Are you strong enough by then in your faith in God and your trust in His Word so completely, sister, that you know in your heart that you would not renounce Jesus even in the face of separation from your family and your certain death as a martyr? These are hard things for you to consider. But to consider them, you must. Brother, are you strong enough by then in your faith in God and your trust in His Word so completely? You are secure in your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the face of physical and sexual abuse of your spouse or child before your very eyes, for not denying the Lord Jesus Christ as God and Savior. Brother, are you strong enough by then in your faith in God and your trust in His Word so completely that real torture and death threats against your unsaved son or daughter or grandchild will not cause you to turn away from Jesus, even as a man slams the butt of his gun in their stomach for starters? Are you strong enough to not deny Jesus, even though they are doing horrible things to your loved ones? Oh, they know you won't break. But maybe you'll break if they pick on your loved ones in hellish manner. Sister, Are you strong enough by then in your faith in God and your trust in His Word so completely that you love God and the brothers and sisters deeply enough that you will face pain and probably execution for not giving up their names or locations? Brother, are you strong enough by then in your faith in God and your trust in His Word so completely that even though your family is gone without real food for weeks, you will not compromise your faith by taking the Antichrist mark, even though it means probable starvation for your precious loved ones and yourself? You take the mark, you go to hell. I remind you, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and the Antichrist, he's speaking of the Antichrist, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High God. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time. That's 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days. And then Daniel tells us in chapter 12, verse 10, under the rule of the Antichrist and his forces, which in many respects today also includes our local police and sheriff forces. Not every policeman and every sheriff's deputy, of course, will take part in such things, but many of them, a majority of them, will. There's many news articles that have came over just in the last 2 weeks that indicate nearly all of the police forces in the United States now have military weaponry. Why do they need military weaponry unless they're going to become part of the Antichrist government forces against us? Chapter 12 of verse 10, Daniel said, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. All right, now that I've shocked you into things that you've never considered before, you're wondering, what must we do in order to avoid our very own and personal crisis of faith when our food supplies, our playthings, God forbid, our comforts and liberties give way to a Nazi Germany type of a culture here in our Western civilization? What can we do to get ready? As we commented last week, many things that arise as a crisis in our lives cannot be anticipated or planned for, but some can. Facing the harshest of intimidations and threats, what can we do? What must we do in anticipation of such dangers in order to be able to respond righteously and faithfully as a devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? What can we do to get ready to not cave in order to stand in that day? We must all, myself included, we must all begin to be active in these things beginning this day. That's why I gave you a scripture reference to memorize this week, those of you that are willing to. Begin to be active in these things I'm going to give you here in just a second, beginning this day and without delay. Consider this next few minutes of what I'm going to be sharing with you, consider this your homework assignment until Jesus comes. These are things you need to be working on like homework every day until Jesus comes. Number one, you need to do these things. And there's nothing surprising here. We've been saying this in many different forms and fashions and shapes and colors for several years now. But these are the kinds of things that are going to give you the stamina, the spiritual stamina, the intestinal fortitude. For you guys, that means guts. In order to stand in that day for Jesus, no matter what's going on around you, no matter who they threaten, no matter how much it hurts. Number one, spend a minimum every day of 30 to 60 minutes reading the Word of God. Not devotionals, not Christian articles, the pure word of the Lord from the King James Version Holy Bible. In fact, if you can, if you have it, go to sleep listening to it on audio. We do every night. My wife gets more of it than I do because usually I'm gone in 5 minutes. But every night we say goodnight to each other, we turn on the MP3 player, and something of the Word of God plays until she finally falls asleep. Spend a minimum of 30 to 60 minutes every day reading the Word of God. Do these things. Number two, spend a minimum of 20 to 40 minutes every day in personal prayer and worship of our God and Father. More is better. If you've got more time, maybe spend some time in the morning before school or work, and then go later that evening or something and spend a few more minutes loving on God, getting close to Him, having Him speak to your heart, encouraging you by His Spirit. Spend a minimum of 20 to 40 minutes every day in personal prayer and worship of our God and Father. Number three, do these things. If you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray with your heavenly languages daily and often. In other words, pray in tongues every day. Jude tells us why. We'll read that a little bit later. Paul in Corinthians helps us to understand the value of tongues once you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you've not been baptized in the Spirit, this is an extra part of your homework assignment, get baptized. Seek it. You need to have it in these last days. So if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray with your heavenly languages daily and often. If you've not been baptized, seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number four, regularly ask to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. Stay full of the Spirit. Number five, do these things. Memorize scriptures. And the words to your top 3 to 5 favorite hymns. Brother, why do I need to memorize hymns? Memorize scriptures and the words to your favorite 3 to 5 hymns. Why do you want to know your 3 to 5 favorite hymns? So if you're sitting in a jail cell, if you're on a bus going way out in the middle of nowhere and you have a sense you're not coming back, you can begin to sing and encourage yourself and others. Paul and Silas did it in the dungeon of a Philippian jail. And it brought an earthquake. It caused a church to be born because they sang. They worshiped God. Your most favorite 3 to 5 hymns will be extremely valuable to you and others that will be there to listen. If you need the words to those, you ask me, and I'm almost sure I have the words that you would want to have to memorize, to sing those to yourself. I know Sister Patsy for years has carried a book around that we produced for certain sisters many years ago with the words to songs and hymns, and she'd sit there and just flip the book open and start to sing, her and Sister Nancy. Sister Nancy's now with the Lord singing. And number six, as I move on, things that you need to do. Do these things. Ask the Lord to help you grow in love toward Him and all souls. Ask the Lord to help you grow in love. Love for God and for others. It's important that we love through all of this. The key aspect to being able to endure to the end against intimidation, fear of what man can do to you, and fear of your failing to spiritually stand against any and all threats against you or your precious family members are these. Grow in these areas, and you will find the grace to face any form of danger at any level. Grow in these areas, and you will find the grace to face any form of danger at any level. The first one is, walk in humility and ready repentance. Let not sin have a foothold in your life. Walk in humility and ready repentance, and let not sin have a foothold in your life. The next one is, grow in your love for the Father. If you love God so much when that day comes, if you love God so much, you wouldn't even be able to bear the thought of denying Him or saving yourself at the cost of that great love that you have for God. It alone will be powerful in helping you to stand against any kind of threat or pain. Grow in your love for the Father, for the Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and King, and the comforting Holy Spirit. Grow in love for God. Grow in love for your family and all souls. Grow in love for your family and all souls. You see how it's important to be growing from now until then? Here's another one. Grow in your knowledge of the King James Version Holy Bible, the KJV Holy Bible. Grow in your knowledge of the KJV Holy Bible. You are not called to become a Dr. Walter Martin or a memory giant like Jack Van Impe, who could basically quote the entire Bible, I've heard. I've seen him do a lot of it. You're not called to become a Dr. Walter Martin or memory giant Jack Van Impe or even to be a minor Bible scholar. Just one that knows its stories and heroes. Knows about God's love and His power. And knows how God feels about things in general. Let me say that again. Grow in your knowledge of the KJV Holy Bible. You are not called to become a Dr. Walter Martin or a memory giant Jack Van Impe or even a minor Bible scholar. Just one that knows its stories and heroes, knows about God's love and His power, and how God feels about things. Here's the next one. Grow in your complete trust in God's power to help you. Grow in your complete trust in God's power to help you, to protect you, to deliver you and your loved ones, to give you grace and guidance, and to save your soul no matter how things turn out. If you ask Him for this level of faith, He will bring it to pass. Say that again. Grow in your complete trust in God's power to help you, your faith in God, to protect you, deliver you and your loved ones, to give you grace and guidance, and to save your soul no matter how things turn out. If you ask Him for this level of faith, He will bring it to pass. In a phrase, to sum all of that up in a phrase as to our spirituality, you and I must become more than we are today. We must become more than we are today, and in doing so, we will not have a crisis of faith in the days to come. That doesn't mean it won't be painful, it won't be challenging, but you will find that you are strong toward God. As to our spirituality, you and I must become more than we are today, and in doing so, we will not have a crisis of faith in the days to come. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Luke 21:16, And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience, that means endurance, in your constancy, in your stick-to-itiveness. In your patience, possess ye your souls. John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. That means allow it to be destroyed and perish. Give it to the Lord. Surrender it to Him. Let Him take those things away that need to be done away with. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world, that word hateth means love less. Loves less or detests. He that hateth his life in this world, the present world structure, which is condemned by God. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He asked Peter that three times. Do you love me more than anything else, Peter, anyone else? We need to. We need to. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Jude 1:20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do we build up ourselves on our most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. There's another good one to memorize. And Revelation chapter 14, verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image. And whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience. That's the word endurance. Constancy. You stick to it. You don't give up. You don't give in. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You've heard me say it before. The best time to learn to swim is before the cruise, not when the ship is sinking far from shore. The only time to deal with a crisis of faith is before the events arise that would cause you to make an otherwise eternally disastrous decision. When facing imprisonment or death. I say it again. The only time to deal with a crisis of faith is before the events arise that would cause you to make an otherwise eternally disastrous decision when facing imprisonment or death. Do what you must now to be completely sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word before you are threatened and intimidated into turning your back on Him because you never honestly and thoroughly examined yourself. Do you believe? Do you truly believe the things that you say you do? Are you willing to be imprisoned or even killed for your faith in God's Word and in the Lord Jesus Christ? And to break you if they threaten your spouse or your children or your grandchildren with death instead. Are you able to stand that? That's probably the most hardest. To not give in when they've got your spouse or your children or your grandchildren. To do unspeakable things to them if you don't renounce. Would you still stand your spiritual ground no matter what the consequences to their lives? You've got to be ready for that. Being close to the Lord, knowing His Word will help you be ready for that. And by the way, you need to have a discussion with your children and your spouse, if you're married, and your grandchildren even. that if they're threatened that they will, the authorities will kill you if they don't renounce, you need to give them permission ahead of time. You need to urge them ahead of time. Do not give up on Jesus to save my life. It's important that they know that they are not supposed to choose you over Jesus. It's important that they know that you want them to live for Jesus, even if it means you being put to death for their faith. I would sooner be pulled apart by raging horses to my death than to have a family member renounce their faith so that that wouldn't happen to me and go to hell. Your family members need to know it's okay ahead of time. It's okay ahead of time. I want you to know if they threaten my life, if you don't renounce, you let me die, no matter what method they use. For many, a crisis of faith is coming one day soon. Let's prepare ourselves and our loved ones to stand for Jesus and on His Word no matter what. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 4 says, "For though He was crucified through weakness, yet He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you." Verse 5, "Examine yourselves." That word examine means test yourself. Scrutinize yourself. Put yourself on trial about what you say you believe. Do you really believe it? Do you believe it enough that you're strong enough to stand no matter what? If you discover that you're not, that's okay. But go from there to a place of faith in God and trust in His Word where you would never deny your faith. "Examine yourselves," Paul says, "whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves." That means recognize as genuine. Deem worthy. Find out for yourself. Prove yourself. Prove your own selves. And lastly, I want to read. It's a glorious, for me, it's a glorious passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 32, the writer says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." And in our case, that may be literally aliens from outer space, who are really, of course, those dastardly fallen angels in disguise. But pay attention, "turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder." That's gotta hurt. "They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Chapter 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, in light of this, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider, him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. A crisis of faith is coming to our country. A crisis of faith is coming to those that profess faith in Jesus Christ all around the world, but especially in our country. You now know it. You've been faced with it. You need to get ready for it. Memorize the Word. Spend time in prayer. Become sure of what you know. Encourage your loved ones to do the same. And let them know that if they're given the choice of either renouncing Jesus or saving your life, let you die. And in that crisis of faith, you will be victorious. You will be an overcomer. The last act that you would have done would be to praise the name of Jesus and lay down and die for His glory. Father, we thank You for such a poignant, such a powerful, a mind-awakening theme as this. Lord, the headlines are screaming that this is around the corner. And so many are asleep or numb to what's happening. Oh, it's going to be disastrous for a great many. But Lord, those that recognize it, begin to tighten up, toughen up, study up, and pray up, Lord, we'll be able to, if it comes our turn, to stand. Just to stand in the name of Jesus. Be an example to our family and friends and loved ones and even our captors that Jesus is real. I love Him and I'll die. Lord, would You help us to be ready for that day? Lord, help my brother and my sister to grow in all these areas and myself also, Lord. We thank You for the comfort of Your Spirit and the truth of Your Word. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we just ask that You help us to live every day for Jesus. No vacation days from God. Lord, that we would live each day for You. We bless You in the name of Jesus, Father, for being so good to us. Amen. Amen.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.